You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Hold on.
Oh, God. I didn't know we were doing ASMR all of a sudden.
Since Ryan Hill's not here.
I'm going to go ahead and shuffle these cards directly into the mic.
Right. Anyways, that red light is to be believed. I believe we are live now. Hello, everyone. My name is Harry, a.k.a. The Moving Target. Brought to you another episode of Low Key on the We Are Libertarians Network. So it's going to be a fun episode. Like I said, you can see in the description. I'm joined by Vincent, because you guys know I do not fly solo. I bring other people with me. So we got Vincent. Vincent has used his punch card, so he gets to choose the adventure. Okay.
Yes, right? Yes, I did. 5 minutes in and out. It'll be fine. It's all it is.
I know. Look, Prima Donna shows up. Go ahead. Introduce yourself. Say hello to the people.
Hello, people. I'm here, and this is just a random thing that started bugging me after reading something, and I'll get more into that when we actually start talking about the topic, but sometimes tropes can ruin good things, and sometimes tropes can be good.
No, that's fine. It's good to see what we're going to do with the topic. As Reinhold finishes getting pretty backstage, we'll just, like, chat amongst ourselves. I got some cool gifts. Got one cool gift that I think is interesting. I got the Minecraft for the Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Got that off my Christmas list so I could play Minecraft with my daughter, which I don't console game. Right. That's not what I do. I'll get on and I'll play a Nintendo game once in a while, right? But I got this Minecraft. It's like freaking Minecraft. I'm gonna go to see what, like, realms or something I can get onto. What do you mean I got to pay Nintendo to get online?
Yep.
What kind of crap is this?
Yep.
And I was like, and I totally spaced. That's even the thing. I was like, because, like, yep. I know you can do it for Animal Crossing. I'm like, F that. I'll just go to people's houses. Literally their IRL houses. I'm an extrovert. I'll just go to someone's house with my Switch. I don't need to do this online. Mm-hmm. It just, like, dumbfounded me. Like, this is that I'm going to pay to get. I'm already paying.
Yes.
For internet access.
Well, you see, we're console gamers. You have to pay to give access to it because Xbox Live was a thing. And then everybody jumped on that concept. And they try to subsidize you by giving you games that you should probably already have. Like, Nintendo gives you, like, their emulators.
Yeah,
like, I don't play these old games that you can probably play in your living room.
Right. I don't want those. I've got those games. I have those games. And if I don't want them, I'll go buy them cheaper than what I'm paying you to let me on the internet. I don't want this, you know?
Yeah.
And I just, like, this is terrible.
Yes.
You know, I haven't, like, see, like, all the Enzos, like I'm going to find out, like, I don't know yet, because I've just been playing it, just first day I just opened it up. I was like, does this even count with, like, a local LAN? So, like, the Minecraft server is running on here? Can the Switch hit? Because it's not the internet. It's sitting right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's just multiplayer on the local LAN, can it do that? But I was just upset. So.
Potentially. But I don't know. I haven't played Minecraft on the Switch, so right. I have no idea.
That's fine. We got some biddies from Eskilly's Geese. Hey, thanks, Eskilly's Geese. And then coming in late, missing makeup, missing hair, and missing mic check. Got Reinhold showing up.
Ate it.
Did you? No, that's fine. Did you find? Did you have fun burning your cheap gasoline, and that's why you're here late?
Yeah, I had to run for errands and got back a little late, and I was on the phone with Verizon for an hour, and it kind of got frustrating. So,
oh, Verizon, she sounds pretty.
I finally decided to cut my wife from Verizon over to Mint Mobile.
The Ryan Reynolds ad got you, didn't it?
Well, she's a huge Ryan Reynolds fan. Like, Chase Momoa and Ryan Reynolds, if either one of those were to come to her, she'd be like, I'm gone. See ya. I don't care.
Let's be honest. You'd go like, yeah, I'm right there with you. It's fine.
Well, Ryan Reynolds, I'd probably go too. I don't know.
See, yeah. Yep, that's probably in the Mint Mobile abs. The bill is detailed on those abs. It's just like...
Well, right, it's funny because he sends out videos. Or he sends like email videos to to everybody every once in a while. It's pretty funny. I've seen a few of them. The fun part is when I go to Verizon and I'm like, oh, I'm going to cut over because it's costing me way too much, and I can get a lot cheaper over here at Mint. They're like, oh, we have this special deal where you can sign up and you get it for like $25 a month. I'm like, oh, great. Why didn't you tell me that years ago when you were starting doing that? Instead of waiting until I'm like thinking about leaving, you know, no, we can help you out. Only help me out when I'm your customer. How about that?
Never.
I'm not doing that stuff no more.
That's fine. You be like me. I've got I hate my ASP, but they're also like my phone service, and it's really cheap phone service. So I get the sunk cost fallacy on it, and I don't want to leave. Okay. But I hate them because, like, it's regularly down. On the weekends, it's like sometimes let's just go down. Do you need internet access? Are you doing something? Yes.
mine will go down like once every month or two, at like 2 a.m. just to do maintenance, I guess. But they don't tell you ahead of time it's coming. This is the irritating part. So I'm in the middle of a gaming session about 2 a.m. Boom, everything goes away.
Yeah. Like if I
know, it's only down for like 5 minutes, but yeah.
Like if I know it's happening, it's okay. Right? I can plan it, you know. Or if I've got like who I am and what I do, I'm running backups to my own personal NAS sometimes at night. So like that whole
thing, you know,
like,
who I am.
Yeah. So waking up, going up. Like, ooh, yeah. Oh, man, it looks like you have a failed backup. Like, you know, like what? What's going on?
What
happened? Yeah, we lost internet.
Power went out. Cool.
Yeah. Also, I started. Weird,
Then my power had my vacation.
Sorry. No, sorry. I started my vacation and immediately got a cold sore. Oof. That's what happens every time I go on vacation. Oof. The stress of not having to worry about my stress makes me more stressful. You know what I mean? Like, I know I should be stressing out about something, but I can't figure out what it is. That makes me more stressed. It takes me a few days to get over that. So every time I go on vacation, I get a cold sore because of that.
Sorry, Randall. Sorry.
Stress. It's that stress of when you're always on alert, and when you're not on alert, when you don't have to be on alert, your brain still wants to be on alert. Yeah.
Yep. Completely understandable. But it'll be okay, Randall. You know what?
Now I'm all chill because I took 2 weeks this time, and now I'm kind of in my second week, and I'm relaxed. Then they call Verizon and get all head up. But I'll be all right.
Riled up. Yeah. I will say, transfer your number out of Verizon is the worst.
It really wasn't that hard. It's just that what frustrated me is like, oh, you need a transfer PIN. I'm like, well, it's different than my regular PIN, right? Okay, I need a transfer PIN.
Yep.
And it's like, well, you can go online to your My Verizon account and initiate that. Cool. Well, I don't have access to my Verizon account because 8 years ago, someone broke into it and ordered 10 iPhones. And I got them in the package. I'm like, this is wrong. So took them back to the Verizon store. They credited me back and took them back. And then they cut off my access to online to protect us. And I never turned it back on. So I'm like, well, now I got to go and turn it back on. So I can do my transfer. I did my transfer PIN, and they're like, okay, we set you up with a PIN. Great. What is it? No, we set you up with a PIN already. I know. What is it? I can't find it anywhere. It's not in anything they sent me. I'm like, I had to call them, and they're like, and then I find out that I could just dialed in to the number from the phone and said transfer, and they would have just transferred it right then and gave me the number and everything. So maddening. So I had to talk to people. You know, trying to call people, talk to them and say, okay, now look, I need this done. I need this in a certain way. And it's just frustrating.
I found that
for the automated systems.
I found that the easiest part. You know, once I found out I could just talk to somebody to help me with my transfer. Oh man, it was so much easier. I almost was like, if I could just talk to someone in Horizon, I probably would have stayed. I enjoyed Horizon.
Oh, I could talk to somebody, but half of them don't know how to what you're talking about or how to talk to you or anything. It's just like I can't understand what you're saying. It's not like they had weird accents. It was just they were talking in a weird way, like mm-hmm. like really fast, but under the breath and mumbled right. and
yeah.
It's the worst when it what? Sounds like the phone was underwater, like the moment they dialed the number.
Yeah, like I'm used to listening and watching IT videos on YouTube so much. I actually prefer thick Indian accents. Okay,
yeah, where I work at, there's I have a lot of Indian coworkers, so I'm used right. to I've, hearing.
I that. Prefer it. It's like I can listen to this. I can listen to this for hours.
I got one coworker who I'm really good friends with who mm-hmm. he's got a Russian, thick Russian yeah. kind of accent. And it's just mm-hmm. like, it's not quite Russian, but it's like Western Russian, mm-hmm. Ukrainian, something like that. I don't know exactly what, but it's just it's a little different. And it's just like, okay, mm-hmm. I just twist mm-hmm. my brain and I can hear it. But these people yeah. were just like, just annoying. And yeah.
good thing you catch yourself because West Russia is not Ukraine yet.
No, imagine that.
It used to be.
but the people with the accents are trying to pronounce drug names with like 20 to 30 letters in the drug, and they're trying to say it while the phone sounds like it's breaking out every third sentence. And now you have to figure out what they want.
Jitter.
So
nothing good. Like jitter. Oh,
man. Well, that's the worst thing too.
I always hated like troubleshooting like VoIP networks because like every company wants VoIP, loves VoIP, don't want to put the work in for VoIP. We've been using the same Cat5 cable for 10 years. Why do I need to upgrade? It's like I don't know where, but somewhere in this massive bundle, there's a problem. Can you find it? Hell no. we're gonna pay this company. They're gonna redo this whole bundle.
It'll be better this way.
Trust me. It'll be done. It'll be done. We don't have to worry about it. We keep moving. Because if you tell me to investigate this bundle, I'm gonna spend a whole bunch of money and I probably ain't gonna find it.
It's better to just hire the professional and get it done with.
Mm-hmm. Just easier. Yeah. Sorry. I don't want to like get to the ins and outs of jitter and VoIP networks and like, and then why they should be on their own separate network because of the speed thing, which Cisco does really cool stuff because like Cisco's like devices for the longest time, but automatically make like the VoIP VLAN. So the instant it senses VoIP traffic, it creates the voice VLAN, which is amazing. But a lot of other switches don't do it. Like I think that one doesn't either. That one up here doesn't. You have to tell it to put VoIP traffic over there. So, which, you know. All right, no one cares. Anyways, just go. Only person that kind of cares is Ryan Hull, but he's like not into networking like I am. He's
just like, I used to be. I can be. Depends on the day. Time.
I like your funny words, Magic Man.
Well, the
make server talk to other server. Server, Magic Man.
I also had to call Mint before I started this whole thing because I wanted to find out. They sent me a SIM card, right? Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find. So I was trying to get it working with my wife's phone or a new phone because hers was messed up. Mm-hmm. So I got a new phone, brought it in, but I couldn't tell if it was unlocked or not. So I was trying to go through the unlock process, and it just took time. Mm-hmm. Then I get an email saying, oh, you have to have this activated by the 24th. I'm like, well, it's 26th now. And they're like, no refunds, too. And I'm like, oh, what? Well, okay. But on the card you sent me, it says I had until 2025 to activate this stupid card. And now you're telling me I have to do it, then, you know. By a certain date. So I called them and just say, okay, can I still activate this card? And they're like, oh yeah, no problem. And I'm like, why'd you send me the email then? Get me all freaked out.
Well, if we don't.
Then I had to find out if the phone I had was unlocked, which it's hard to tell. So when I was talking to Verizon, I'm like, can you check up this IMEI? Is it unlocked? And they're like, oh yeah, it's unlocked. I'm like, cool. Thank you. Bye. I just didn't want to try and transfer the number over, get it to where I couldn't activate it on the other phone. Now the number's sitting in the ether somewhere, and everybody's trying to call my wife, can't get a hold of her.
That really sucks. Now to transfer to
That was my day.
Our Mint Mobile ad now. I'm probably going to keep this sponsor from up.
Man, producer Paul was just on the phone with them too. God damn it, Reinhold.
That's a joke. We would take a Mint Mobile sponsorship though. You know, if Ryan Reynolds,
oh, absolutely.
If you're listening.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds could record one for us. That would be really cool, right?
Oh yeah. We'll all switch
for
to,
us.
We'll all switch to Mint. Okay. All right. All right, so, now the joke's out of the side. So, like I said, like a right hole, you missed the first part, is Vincent decided to cash in his punch card. He gets one adventure that's his, so he gets this one. So, he's something about tropes versus Vincent's entertainment.
What I want to talk about is this. So when
it's his punch card.
I used my punch card, sir. This is not fair. This is bullshit.
This is right here.
I have seen my punch card refund.
After 3 Gundams and 2 Reinhold rants, I get it.
I didn't know I had 2 punch cards. I didn't know I had 2 free punch cards ready to go.
I should get you a punch card for the big show. So every time like Spangle does something, I'm like, oh, and just go punch you. Just be like, gotcha.
This is the running joke.
Yeah. thanks for the bid. Thanks.
I don't know. You have to be on enough to get a punch card, unfortunately, Scalja.
Yeah.
Is it how many bits does it take to get a punch card?
Probably like 5,000 in a month.
Over 9,000.
That joke's played.
Old me.
That joke is
played. I'm bringing it back. It's like the 70s clothes. We're bringing it back.
Someone brought it back 10 years ago. Okay. You can't bring something that's dead back. Yeah. Like,
that you played on with it immediately. I hate you so much.
Like, which is awful.
9,000.
Is some people like, what is it like? Mostly Gen Zers are getting rid of skinny jeans and going back to bell bottoms and flares. I'm like, good. I never left.
Just wait for them to go back to chinkos.
Get those boot cuts, baby.
Can't wait. Jinko. I know. So I got a. Well, especially now. Now that I'm an adult and I can put a whole wine bottle in my denim jeans. Heck yeah.
they're not going the whole designer jean route that we used to have in the 70s, where we had like little designs on the back pockets and the front pocket was square instead of like a semicircle and all kinds of weird stuff that they were doing back then. So it's not the same. Sure, bell bottoms. Okay, well, whatever. Half effort.
Half effort. Wow, Reinhold. Tell us how you really feel about denim.
Used to have fun times with it. And it's funny because I didn't wear denim to school until I was probably in 8th grade because I had to beg my mom to let me wear jeans because she used to put me in corduroys, like green corduroys, red corduroys, that sort of thing. And I'm like, Mom, I'm getting so teased at school because of these. Please just let me wear some jeans.
Yep.
That moment when Harry said, tell me how you really feel as a joke, and then Reinhold actually tells him how he really feels about jeans. Oh, God.
All right, Vincent.
That's the way it was in the 70s, man. Just really, really the way it was.
1870 or 1970?
Well, 1870 is when they first were invented, back when...
So I want to find out. We're trying to find out.
When they were trying to find that all that gold out there in Western California. That's when they invented the jeans.
Thanks, Gibbs. Thanks.
Go ahead.
We got to get you to watch, regular shows. Regular so you show. Understand. Thanks, Gibbs.
Yeah. So on Saturday, I read a manga called The Girlfriend Project, Of course. But in it, there's a moment where a character is embracing that they've come out of the closet and embracing the fact that they're gay, and they have a nice moment where their parent, who was very anti-gay, she kind of shows a moment of trying and trying to show that he's better than what he originally was perceived as by giving her his suit, because she's going to this ball for the person that she cares for. And on the way there, they stopped and she went and got her hair cut. And the issue and that moment, I was like, oh, this is really cool. I like that she's embracing who she is. But then the lizard part of my brain is like looking at this trope that is in all, like, especially in anime, but in a lot of media, where the female character is like, in order to show that I've grown as a person, I have to cut my hair to show that I've grown. And I was like, this is bothering me so much. And it made this scene that was actually really, really cool for this character, like, not as interesting for me, because I've seen it so many times where the character is like, yes, I'm going to develop as a character by cutting off my hair. And it's never like the male character that does it. It's always a female character to show that they've grown as a character. This is their character development. They cut their hair. Mm-hmm. And so all of Christmas, I was just sitting there like reflecting on all these random tropes and how some of them can just ruin great things, while also how some tropes can actually be done well and used in the right way aren't as annoying or frustrating as they've become.
So I can counterpoint what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Slightly. I mean, I kind of agree with the whole idea that people misuse tropes.
Oh yeah.
It's lazy writing. They can't think of a good way to say something, so they go fall back on these old tropes, right? So that's what it is. But to be fair, which I know everybody loves me when I say that, women do identify themselves a lot of times through power and stuff by changing their hairstyles. So yes, it is a common thing.
I agree.
Women do
that. That is a thing. But the issue is how much it's relied upon as character development instead of it actually being that's what my issue is that while yes, this is a solid moment of real character development that in this series, it actually made sense. They built to it, but there's so many times that a character just does it and then they get no more development either one way or the other. None before, none after, but they cut their hair. That means that they've developed as a character. The worst example, of course, is in Naruto, as Harry knows, that they do that twice with two separate characters, and they get zero character development either way. Exactly.
As Colleges Plus says, show me the actual changes in the character. Don't just shortcut it. See what you did
now, there. Now, if they include that into a larger development process, that's fine. But a lot of times, like I said, people do... In lazy writing is what we call it.
Yeah.
They rely upon this stuff because it's easy. It's like everybody knows this. So I can get this thought out by using this similar trope that we've used in other media before. I don't have to try to over-explain it or find a different way to visualize what's happening in a certain way. Right. So that's why it's relied upon, but it is relied upon way too much. And usually you find that's when the writers aren't as polished or developed enough to know when and when not to use tropes. There's a whole web series that someone's put together. I can't remember the name of the YouTube series, but they examine all the different tropes that exist in writing.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. That's the animated, So, and she does. She goes through all these different tropes, and she says, this is when it's good to use them. This is when it's bad to use them. Right. Exactly. And it's a really great series to read through if you like learning about writing, because she does examine a lot of that stuff in modern day.
Right. And it's I just want to just kind of have a discussion about them because they can be used to good effect, or the actual writing to them can make or break moments, or how you can use a trope to turn things on its head. But there's so many of the lazy writing tropes that just eat away at so much. There's another series that is very similar. It's another animated series on YouTube where a guy is like, it's like shitting writing tips, basically. And he just goes through a genre of something and tries to write it as lazy and terrible as possible based on what is the consensus thing for most stuff. It's like when he did fan fiction, he purposely created a self-insert new character for his episode of this thing who is super cool and awesome. It's just me with a letter changed in my name and stuff like that. Or like when he's talking about filler, where we introduce like an anime in the anime for filler, usually what ends up happening is if an anime is going faster than the manga, they have to do filler. Yes. Yes. I am talking about terrible writing advice. That's exactly the series I'm talking about.
What you find though is there are some people who, the really good writers, will take a trope and subvert your expectations based off that trope in order to get you somewhere else. It's this really well done way of utilizing the trope in an intelligent, smart way.
Right,
and it's just it takes a good writer to do that. There's just not a lot of really good writers.
Right. A good example I want to actually bring up is another anime example, which Escalja will appreciate because he started watching the series because I told him to. It's called Executioner in a Way of Life, and it takes the concept where the whole first episode is about this kid who gets isekai'd, who like shows him in this fantasy world, and when he's there, he's met with this girl who kind of shows him around, and you see how this happens so much in this fantasy world that their main towns are influenced by Japan, so there's like things are written in Japanese and have fluorescent lights and very Japanese culture stuff. And you're basically palling around with this guy who is the embodiment of the generic isekai character who has massive.
Escal just says he's finished it.
Yeah. Glad he's finished it. I'm glad he finished it. Mm-hmm. You posted the link. But
sarcastic productions that
yes,
and it's that's a trope that's the playlist is all the different trope talks that they have.
And then in that series, the whole first episode is centered around this guy, and he's figuring out that he has this massive, incredible power. Then he turns around, and the girl kills him immediately, like stabs him directly in the head, and she's like, no. I don't want you in this world. The people who come to this world destroy our world. I'm getting rid of you. And her whole goal and her whole position in the world is to kill the people who get isekai'd into this world because they've destroyed the world. There's literally the four great human errors that have collapsed this world around it. Like somebody created this sword of salt that turned an entire continent into salt and is just being dissolved by the ocean. And it's just playing on that trope of you're building it up to be this wish fulfillment isekai where this generic no-name kid who's worthless, for lack of a better term, gets all the superpowers and is super amazing, and then they immediately cut it off and go, this isn't what the story we're telling.
So, is this story really just Japan? Is that talk about how it really doesn't want foreigners to come? That's what I feel. That one's about. That one's like, hey, don't come here.
Well, I mean, they're talking about Japanese. If only Japanese people get isekai to their world.
Yeah. And they don't want us American weebs, or just weebs in general, going to Japan.
Weeb and it ruin up. Our culture.
Well, eventually, put it this way, Japan has a lot of empty houses, and because in a lot of the farm areas, and culturally, they don't want to live in some of these older houses, which most Americans are like, I'm going to get ready to have a 100-year-old house. I don't care about
right.
I don't have that superstition.
Scott in the chat is following up on it, saying if I hadn't told him about what happened in that first episode, he would have been legitimately confused and betrayed and startled about it, because isekai as a genre is so in and of itself is a trope. And the fact that so many of them rely on the lazy writing of Japanese boy with no real life in the normal world is inserted into fantasy world and is the baddest, most coolest, most awesomest character there is with a power that nobody else can have.
So Kazuma.
Whoa, Kazuma is a subversion of the trope.
So there's a book series called Magic Kingdom for Sale. And it's that plays out where he's like, he gets this book, he opens a portal, and he becomes like this great wizard inside this other universe, right? Automatically just solving every problem, no issue. You know, it's kind of like a Harry Potter type thing, right? So
barely an inconvenience.
Just happens. This works out every time.
Yeah. And
I like it when they earn it, like when they have failures and they pay for those failures as they're learning that process. That makes it better, right?
Right. And the big issue is that ban that man, Harry. I need you to ban that person. Because that person is a bot, please. But
thanks. Let's go.
The big thing about it is that concept that you just is so prevalent in anime at this point. Like, it became this, it's been a meme for like the last like 5 to 6 years that isekai is the big thing, and all it is generic boy gets teleported to fantasy world and is just better than everybody else. And it just gets more and more and more absurd every time. Like, and it's gotten to the point where it's a joke upon itself, where like one of them is a guy, like I got isekai'd as the vending machine in a dungeon, and like them have going on an adventure because some random anime girl takes them out of the dungeon because whatever.
It's a vending machine in a dungeon.
Yeah. And it's that trope that is so frustrating because they do it so often. And when you get stuff like when I talked about Konosuba, which the whole point is the main character is trash, everybody calls him trash and they know he sucks, it's nice to see him have to earn things and how he has to suffer and deal with certain aspects of, oh, he's in this fantasy world where he's supposed to be super cool and awesome and all of his party members suck.
Yeah. It's all right, so like another tropes, like subversion one is which I think Lower Decks, Star Trek Lower Decks, which is some of the best Star Trek content that has come out in the last 10 years. I say it, the last 10 years, rivaling only Enterprise. Okay, it is. Ooh, it's good.
I haven't seen Strange New World, so I'm not going to. I won't bust your chops on that one.
I haven't watched Strange New World yet, but I have the other ones. Like, the other ones are so awful, and I'm holding on to Lower Decks. That makes me not want to, like, watch this other thing.
How does it subvert the tropes here?
So, like Cosmo,
it makes fun of all the tropes.
Yeah. They make fun of it. So, like, the red shirt captain is supposed to be like this uber badass, can do everything, do everything, and they've got this. And they've got this other, like, one who, like, the second in command of the Lower Decks is like follows the rules and, you know, like tries to do it. Like, so they've got that one, and they've got the engineer cyborg ish robot thing that's like obsessed with everything mechanical, everything else going on the ship, and we'll just bypass and forget anything else is going on.
It reminds me, there's a book I've mentioned before called Red Shirts by John Scalzi. You guys really need to read that because it is such a good subversion of the trope of the red shirt in Star Trek. It's because it's hilarious because it's like the captain, the number one, and then the engineer have no clue what's going on, but everybody else on a ship realizes that every time somebody goes down on the landing party, those three come back and the other person doesn't. And it's like they're just trying to, every time they go to call for an away party, they're like hiding. They're, well, get out of here, don't kill them, find you, don't get called for this, or, you know. And it starts off with a guy who's on the party, and he's like doing stupid things and going in his mind, like, why did I do that? That's the stupidest thing. Why would anybody do this? And he just finds himself saying this stuff and doing this stuff and getting himself killed because of it. Just like they're being forced into it through otherworldly means. And you find out why later on. It's really good, but I don't want to spoil all that.
Right.
But it's just a fun way that they take that trope and go, okay, let's really have some fun with it and spin it on its ear.
Right. Another good example, even keeping with the Star Trek theme, is the Futurama episode where the alien wanted to recreate Star Trek with the original cast by taking all their heads and giving them bodies. And it's literally just this basically neat alien who is trying to force the dolls to play the way he wants them to play.
That was a good episode.
Yeah,
that was a good episode. Yeah. All right, so in defense of Sakura from Naruto, she did have a lot of character development. Problem is, beforehand, okay?
How? Explain.
Come on. In defense of Sakura. Like, I kind of fit Sakura a little bit. All right, so like beforehand, as she was going through the tuning exam, right, which I think that's what it's called, right? Mm-hmm. She is just being carried by Sasuke and Naruto.
Yes.
She quickly realizes that she is being carried, right? When stuff was getting real, and she was like, I am being carried by these two. And, you know, she had that moment to realize if she doesn't, like, buckle down, focus, the stuff that she's supposed to be learning, like, if this was real life, she's just going to die, you know? So she had that. She came to the realization, then cut her hair to get out of a trap.
Right, right. And then she doesn't get any more character development until they end the series and do a time skip. They forced it because they try to make the characters be the same as the old characters.
That's because they just kept resetting it like a speed run off it didn't practice for. Sterling Foxley, love that episode. I'm going to assume the feature Rob episode. Yeah. We're going to assume it's that one because that episode was trash. Naruto.
Thank you for admitting it. Thank you.
It was still trash, but in defense. So she had that. And then afterwards, she got the development and she kept trying to progressing it better at her skills. And it wasn't until she found a better mentor than actually a teacher because Kakashi was the teacher was still focused on Sasuke. So even Naruto had to go off and find another teacher. Because Kakashi kept focusing on Sasuke. Because Kakashi, while a great ninja, terrible teacher. All right, let's just get straight up out there. Awful, awful teacher.
So then explain Ino then.
Oh, she cut her hair.
She did it for one reason for that one fight and never happens again. And her character goes away.
She doesn't need to do it again, okay? She used it for that fight.
Goes away.
Yeah, well, because like whoever wrote Naruto, unlike Oda, has no idea how to use the entire cast of characters. You know, Oda would have wrote Naruto, every little character's quirk and everything would have mattered in every effing fight that would have went on. It would still be going on right now, and it wouldn't be such trash.
But that's another trope in all of. And like definitely a lot of the mainstream anime stuff where they introduce a large ensemble cast that don't really matter about halfway through the series.
They don't matter. They don't matter to nothing and to nobody. But they have abilities going like if they were this point, they would matter heavily. Like we have talked all kinds of time, like if Neji 1010 and Rock Lee and Guy would have been there when Pain showed up. That would have been a completely different fight. That would have went completely different.
Because it wouldn't have been a fight. He's there and they would have went.
Mm-hmm. My Rinnegan blocks everything but Taijutsu. Oh, man.
Two guys that are really good at punching can go punch you out. Awesome.
You said the magic word.
But it's when they introduce this large ensemble cast, a lot of times they don't want to actually play with them. They create them at the beginning because they have like an interesting story at first. Mm-hmm. But when they have to keep power scaling and increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing, these characters lose their luster or they die.
It's gone to whatever Naruto would have been more insufferable. So 30-day ban for Naruto. Yeah, so would have been
you're more muted, Randall. You're muted,
still frames. Believe it for 20. How dare you? How dare you?
At least the link I just posted is from
the important haircut. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, from TV Tropes. The important haircut.
You know, at least like when guys get haircuts, is usually they've gotten in trouble. Have you ever seen that one? Like when guys get haircuts,
it's usually the other way around. Usually they end up having the male characters grow a lot of facial hair or grow their hair out longer to show that they've grizzled and matured, and then they automatically do this as soon as they get back to sophisticated society. They have to clean up their act and make themselves look more presentable.
I know.
Which is also a trick that happens a lot.
Yeah. And on this page, it goes to the bottom and it says, here's some examples. First link, anime and manga.
Yep. It happens a lot.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things. Like the next question, I have an honestly, I'm not 100% sure why, besides it being just easy to digest, of why people buy into like things that are lazy writing tropes. Why do people like to watch, you know, shows that are just this same thing over and over again?
All right. So I thought you had a Disney Plus subscription.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead. Found a Disney Plus free trial. Right there. All endless pages
of tropes.
Of tropes. And then when you get done with that, like, this can't be, get in Hulu, same thing. Then Amazon Prime, same thing. Netflix, same thing. Endless. And then when you're done with that, when you're finally done with that, now you can go in Tubi to the free section, go to the store to the grocery section, and just go like,
all the tropes.
These might as well be in the same universe. Yes. Honestly, like a cinematic universe would be kind of neat if there was a sword and sorcery cinematic universe. That would be kind of neat. Not controlled by a studio, just like writers that are willing to write in a universe. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be neat. You know, just letting the writers, you know, go like, this is a universe that we're playing with. Clearly, Reinhold hates sword and sorcery movies.
No, it's just that the reason they do it, to be honest with you, the question was why do people do this? It's because it's easy. It's you can get an idea across with less effort because everybody knows the trope, and that's why they do it, and that's why people watch it, because they're like, oh, I get it. I get what they're trying to say here, even though they superficially are getting it. They're not, like, thinking about it or being deep about it. They just go, okay. And then, and they're not consuming, a lot of people don't consume that much media to the point where they see it so much it starts to annoy them. So they go along with it. It's okay to them. And then once somebody does start to see it, it's kind of like being woke. You start to see it, you can't unsee it anymore.
You break the glass.
Yeah. Well, and then in some genres, like, you kind of expect it and feel almost cheated if you don't have it. Horror movie. Like, a lot of people need, who's the end girl? Who the heck is end girl? And then all this, what's going on?
But just like Cabin in the Woods played on the tropes, but they still had to perform the tropes. They still had to list them out. Scream, same thing, playing on the tropes. That's where those shows kind of reinvented the genre, because instead of just doing them, they commented on them as they are tropes and then subverted beyond that.
Yeah. And then the writing got even lazier, just said, screw it, we're going to do jump scares. All right.
I don't get the jump scare thing, but
it's okay. They're on what is it? It's on like 10. Yeah, it's easy horror, and there's on like 10 different movies right now. No, don't say the name of the movie. Doesn't get that respect. We all know the movie. Don't say its name. It's trash. It knows it's trash. And when it gets to the 13th movie, it still knows it's trash. Right. Yeah, was like, yeah.
Is that exactly a scalager? They're not scares, they're startles. That's what horror is. There's not at this point in time, as in mainstream horror, for most part, there are some exceptions like Hereditary, which is actual horror. Like just psychological, like, and emotional horror, but most of the time it's just boo.
Yep. But like just like the 80 movies, like you could like I watched a random 80 movies that came on my recommended. I was like, I've never seen this one before, but I could sit there and watch it and just call out the 80s movies tropes. Like, all right, there's that guy. He's gonna be a evil ski instructor. Ah, cool. know where this is going.
the freaking episode of South Park where Stan has to like read the guy to save this.
Yeah,
and there's a problem too with Hollywood where they will sell movies. Like this other movie with this twist in it.
Hmm.
They don't change anything else about it. It's still the same plot for plot point. Mm-hmm. Only there's this twist to it. That's how you end up with so many movies that are so similar, is because it's easier to sell those types of movies to Hollywood because the person who's making the movie, who's paying for the movie, can visualize what that story is, right? And they know that was successful before, so this will be successful too, right? So that's how they put their money in. That's the whole problem with what's going on in Hollywood for the longest time is just trying to recreate what was successful before without thinking about what could be successful now that hasn't been done before.
Right. And I feel like the Harry Potterization of a lot of books and stuff where Harry Potter came out and everybody it became something.
Well,
and it became,
he wasn't the first.
Oh no, it wasn't the first, but it was one of the biggest.
And it ruined a lot of different things too. And also like authors and I've talked about support that since Harry Potter, if you go to write a book series, you go to try to publish it, you have to sign away like movie rides, like amusement park rides, whole nine yards, everything that's JK used to make money. They make sure you sign it off now.
Now you do know that Harry Potter, there's a video out there that's on TikTok a lot I've seen that compares Harry Potter with the original Star Wars. And you basically, it's the same story.
Yeah, it is. Especially the first one.
Well, yeah, but we all know Harry's not the real
hero. The uncles that didn't like what his parents did, his parents died, and his uncle doesn't want him to follow in his dad's footsteps. And then, the very secret knowledge from a wizard who turns out to be a former friend. It's like beat for beat, like the same movie, but it's set in a different universe and a different, they're younger now and this whole thing. So,
And there's a school instead of it being, space rebels. Yeah. The heroes.
Oh, really? Like I said, there's really only seven different stories that are out there. That you can do. At some point you can boil everything down to that. It's just like seven different stories. That's it. Build on top of that.
Right. And I feel like that taking a trope and using it as like a baseline instead of it being all there is so important, especially with a lot of the stuff I've been reading and how some things can feel very similar. The allowing the writer to build on what could easily be like, oh, here's the misunderstanding between the two characters, because that always has to happen for there to be drama. There has to be some weird misunderstanding. But if the misunderstanding is, oh, this makes sense why this person misunderstands this, they've built towards it for a reason.
All right, so I don't know if you guys fully watch Wednesday, but I finally beat it, right? I finally beat it. Beat the damn thing. All right, so the lazy writing in this thing, in the show, is thing. Every time it's like, I have no idea, we get to like, thing. Just like, stop it. Yes, he's amazing. They kind of write him off of the, I have no idea. We've just wrote this into a corner. Thing. It's still a good show. It's not like absurd. Like, I'm making it sound like it's absurd.
Yeah, but there's that scene in the seventh episode where where Thing has the issue and they have to, and it's the crying. It's a sad moment. And
okay, I was going to say that. Which I did like about like just whole Wednesday's character growth from episode one. Like, I do recommend if you go through all eight episodes, instantly rewatch it. Watch episode one as soon as you finish episode eight. Watch episode one, and it's just like, this is amazing.
I'll tell you what, Enid steals that show. The girl that plays Enid, steals it.
Yes, yeah. Love I really, girl. I could, I wanna, yeah, and Bianca, the siren.
Oh yeah, the siren.
Oh man, yeah. All those kids are great in that show. All those kids are great. That did that. But of course, some of them aren't really kids. I'm gonna call them kids.
Well, I mean, the girl playing Wednesday is like 24 or something.
Yeah, 24 or something like that. Yeah, so they're all like, they're younger than me. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Skips, everybody's a kid. But
yeah. We're talking about the whole trope about there's a misunderstanding. It reminds me of a scene I saw recently from Friends where they're watching TV. It's just a little side comment. They're watching TV and Chandler's sitting there with Phoebe. They're watching the show. And he goes, Chandler says, "Oh, I think this is the episode of Three's Company where there's some misunderstanding between them." And Phoebe goes, "Oh, I've seen this one then," turns it off.
Oh man, yeah. But the hero's journey, I was like, Vincent, have you ever seen like the difference between the hero's journey and the heroine's journey, the two different write-ups?
No, I haven't.
Okay, all right. I'll send you offline. We don't have time to like to dissect the hero, like, because if you've never seen it, you're gonna look at it like, oh my god, what the heck is this? It's like,
I mean, yeah, and I was talking about the hero's journey too. We're talking about Harry Potter being like Star Wars. Well, Star Wars was an old Western, and Westerns were based off of, you know, it's just like you go back far enough, it's all based off of something before it.
Yeah. Right, and I'm not saying that being based off of something or using it as a baseline is bad. It's just more of when people...
It's relying upon it instead of doing something different with it, and then you're overusing that trope, and you're relying upon it because you can't think of anything better to do. You just want to churn out some story, and you're not thinking about what it means.
Reinhold, you like old samurai movies, right?
Used to a long time ago. I haven't seen any for a while.
Okay, well, yeah. Have you ever seen the old samurai one when they do Cyrano?
The Bergerac? No, I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, man, it's really good. It's so good. Yeah, it's, they changed some things because it is samurai stuff, but it's really neat, you know? Yeah, so.
That's how Roxanne, though, so that was kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, technically, it is definitely
close enough. Now I just keep thinking, like, man, I want to see a Samurai's Heather's movies. Oh, sorry.
That would be amazing.
It would be amazing. Heather's Samurai.
Might as well at this point. You already made it into a musical, so.
Ryan Holt's going like, wait, I think that's already been done. Hold on, I'm thinking. He's going to his database of movies. He's going to tell me.
I was just thinking how my wife has a love-hate relationship with that
show,
that movie. Because her name's Heather, so she hates the fact that all the Heathers in there are assholes. But she also loves Johnny Depp, and she's the Winona Ryder, and she likes the story, but she just wanted him to be named something besides Heather.
Johnny Depp's not in that one. That's Christian Slater.
No, it wasn't Johnny. It was Christian Slater. Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. I was like, I don't remember Johnny Depp being in that movie.
Oh, you're right.
Right. Like, these tropes of heartthrobs all look the same. Okay.
This is a 21 Jump Street.
This is a 21
Jump Street. This is an untamed heart. What are you talking about? That was another Christian Slater movie. Cuffs, Christian Slater movie. Untamed Heart. Yeah. I was a big Christian Slater in the day fan, so back in the 80s.
Damn.
Weird that way.
Damn 80s.
Yeah. It was just
Untamed Heart made me cry, man. Let me tell you, that movie. Whew. That was a sad one.
Yeah, I just wanted to just have a discussion about just tropes in general, because sometimes they're since they're seen so negatively. And I was thinking about it because of a negative connotation with it. That I just wanted to kind of get it out there, just talk about stuff that versions of tropes that aren't like terrible, and why some people care about it.
I was looking at the TV tropes page about that, and I clicked on examples, anime and manga, and there's like 25 pages of just
told you it happens so much in anime that it's
Aika in Aria ends up burning her hair at a cookout.
But
Asteroid of Love, Berserk.
Yeah, but is that because of the mangakas have like the terrible schedule that they have to deal with? Like, if you had to write, if you had to write to that schedule, how often would you go back to that?
It depends on the books and depends on who's publishing it. because in for Shonen Jump, like the main big ones, that's weekly. You have you're forced to do it every week. In comparison to, there's a lot of them that are like monthly. That have a full month to just, you know, work on one chapter at a time.
And American TV shows have a seasons that are so like mini episodes. Where like British series are like 10 episodes, 8 episodes, you know, that sort of thing. And we're starting to adopt that more for like HBO Max and Netflix and that sort of, those types of shows. But they're still broadcast TV, are trying to do 22, 24. Nobody can put out that many. So you end up having a cadre of writers coming in, right? You have multiple writers, and then you start getting levels of quality in the writing throughout the series. And that's what really frustrates a lot of people who watch those shows. It's that, oh, this is a good episode. This is good. Oh, that was a really bad episode. Well, it just had a different writer. And then you have somebody who's trying to oversee it to make sure it all fits together. And they're not doing something that's completely out of character. And that it becomes a whole thing. And they're just churning out, though. And it's just, you can't get, you have to expect non-quality time from time to time on that.
Well, like with Wednesday, like there's some things I wish it took some longer time to breathe. But when you go to watch the series, you know, especially on the second time around, you go like, oh, this didn't breathe for her. Like, it felt like this was bang, bang, bang with her. It's her pacing. And the other thing is that if this thing would have been 22 episodes, there would have been so much filler and crap. The series would have been junk.
Right. Oh, yeah, side plots. It didn't matter. And things that cut. You know, this is this boiled it down to its essence in a really good way. It showed her really good character development in her. Good character development in her roommate. And even her relationship with the headmaster. That sort of thing. They were all growing in a certain way, and I just think it was a really well done. And I'm expecting to see a season two. You know, so
A good example. Go for it.
I was going to say, and when they brought in a character, that character was useful and then backed off, right? Or you could tell, like, okay, they're forming. This is a main cast, and these are people outside the main cast.
So I watched. A lot of people doing reactions to stuff, right? So I watched a lot of people reacting to Wednesday, and it was just like all the way through, they're all going, any of these characters could be the bit bad because they're all set up to be that way. And it's like, well, this person's too obvious, therefore I don't think it's them. So they're all doing these second guessings on the tropes that they're playing with in the story. Really well done in that way, but it does keep you guessing all the way through where you're going, okay, was that person in this room when this thing happened over there? And you're trying to piece together the timing. That's good writing.
And a good example of things, when things go on for too long and the writer doesn't have a plan, you can definitely tell when that stuff happens. Like if you compare something like One Piece, because we talk about that all the time, that he knew what his end goal was going to be. And he just doesn't tell anybody because, but also he takes a lot of breaks. He had a lot of health breaks that he had to take. He takes like months off at a time to make sure. And it still is like top of the Shonen Jump popularity polls. It's like one of the biggest things in Japan, period. But then you look at something like My Hero Academia, which is still going. And as it's approaching its end, it's losing a lot of its. A lot of its personality that it had at the beginning, where everybody with the shades of gray of My Hero Academia, where everybody, anybody can have a superpower. Doesn't matter if they're good, bad, or otherwise, somebody's going to have a superpower and you can't control who they are. And then as the show goes on, instead of it being shades of gray, like this guy is an asshole, but he's still a hero and we have to treat him. You have to treat him like a hero, but he's still a dick to people. And is a terrible person because we don't want him to be evil and be against us. And now it's everything's good or bad. There's no in between. You're either a good guy or a bad guy, and that's all that matters. And it's the issue of when you're going on for so long and you don't have a story to tell.
And that's the other thing too, is a lot of times people go on too long. Like, so a bad example and a good example. So there's an example of Supernatural we've talked about before where they had the first five seasons kind of sketched out. They knew where were they going to that end. They were going to end it after season five. And then, oh, here's some money. And they said, okay, we'll keep going. So then they have to start coming up with other plans and stuff. But they did a good job of weaving that through together and ramping up the stakes more and more every time. So it made sense. Whereas you've got Friends who they had a straight line that they were going to go from here to here to here. But I think their seventh, eighth, and ninth seasons were terrible in the fact that they kind of lost the plot. Like, they were trying to just filler by putting weird things in there, like, oh, Joey's now in love with Rachel. It's like the stupidest thing. You know, it's that stuff shouldn't have happened. And if they had cut those three seasons out, I think they could have made that series better by having a better straight line and not just doing filler.
Right. And that happens a lot. And when the longer things go on, like a good example of them stopping because they don't have a story to tell was Gravity Falls.
Yes.
When he was writing it, they go, we want you to make another season. And he goes, no, this is my ending.
Yeah. Another perfect example. The Good Place. Finally watched the end of The Good Place recently. Tore me a new one. By the way, I took 3 days of crying on that one. But they had a definite goal the first season to drive into the second season, and they executed perfectly. Anybody who watches that first season gets to that last episode, and they're like, holy crap. And then they think the second season is going to be something else, and it turns out to be completely different. They go off on this weird tangent, but it comes back around to a point where it becomes such a beautiful story at the end. And they're like, no, we're not going to keep going. This is it. We're done. And it was kind of the story of the characters, too, of the characters accepting that they're done and how that works and how that, you know, it's, oh, man, I still can't. Yeah. Still messes me up. Still messes me up.
Yeah. Yeah. I could have gone for the dump truck full of money because I want more Gravity Falls. But
right. Yeah. Gravity Falls is great. And I would love for it. He probably had much more stuff to tell, but. This is what his ending was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I get that too. And then also, like, the little nods to it in, like, because, like, the birth of that, because I think spawned so many things up after it, the nod to it all, like the Owl House. Like, what? Like, I would not have watched the Owl House if it's filmed. People's like, you don't understand. The nods back to Gravity Falls is worth watching the Owl House, you know? And I only started watching Rick and Morty when they said, like, there's nods back to Gravity Falls.
Right. The portals and all that stuff.
It was like,
all
right, fine. I'll watch Rick and Morty. Yeah, which that's I get fair. The shit.
And the other thing, too, is how many shows do finally decide to end perfectly. Mm-hmm. And then 3 years later, they're like, we need to bring the show back. And they have to read, like, Futurama. Yeah.
It's called That 70 Show. It's called That 70 Show and the Randy season.
Yeah, that Randy season was horrible. And the 90 show's coming out in a couple weeks, by the way. So
it looks so good. It looks so good.
It does. Well, it's got all of them in it, little bits here and there, you know. So it's going to be fun to see them again. But
it looks so good. It's going to be better than Fuller House.
They did that 80s show. Mm-hmm. I liked it, and it didn't last that long.
But they didn't have enough Quaaludes. It was a lie. Where's the ludes?
Yeah, it didn't last as long. They didn't give it as much time as they needed to make that work. Because you remember the 70s show, the first 70s show didn't kick off the first episode being fantastic. You know, it took a while to develop that.
The 90s show, like watching the trailers like that, it hurts here because, like, I'll see things and I'm like, is that accurate? And then I'll start trying to, like, oh, no, I can't be this.
Let this go. And the thing is, too, is you're like, the 90s show, that doesn't seem like it's been that long that we should have a 90s show. And you remember that when they made the 70s show, it is in 2000, so it's 30 years. It's been 30 years since the 90s, guys. It's hard to actually wrap your head around that fact, but yeah, it is.
This is our first time going around. You've done this five.
All right. You've done this five times.
I've been here.
Give us a chance.
Okay. No wonder he knows all the stories.
I still understand. Just like there's a whole meme where it's like, think back 10, what was 10 years ago? A 10-year-old car would be like a 1990 something, right? Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
I still have that in my head, though. It's just like, oh, yeah, it was like 10 years ago. It was in the 90s, wasn't it? No.
I'm telling you right now, like when people talk, like have been trying to talk people into scooping up 05 and 07, like manual transmission, like sports cars. I'm like, dude, like just scoop them up, keep them stock, and just hold on to them. It's like, what? Like they're going to be reliable. You know, it's like the tail end of reliable manufacturing before all the gimmick crap started getting to cars.
Which as long as it's not a Chrysler.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Chrysler Transitions, worst transmissions ever made.
Yes, yes, yes.
In that era, too, yeah.
No, no, all time.
I had a Mitsubishi Spyder. Great car.
Three diamond
transmission was a piece of junk.
Yep.
Junk. It went out twice on me, and then I tried. Then I gave it to another guy. I was like, here, you can have the car. Mm-hmm. He put a new transmission in it. It lasted 3 months.
Yep. Well, did you read your mandatory Mopar reading manual? Well, you're supposed to flush the fluid every year with only approved Mopar fluid at your local Mopar dealership.
Yeah, I remember I got it fixed. I went in and flushed it with transmission fluid, but apparently it wasn't the right transmission fluid or something.
You have to use the correct Mopar proprietary
fluid. Well, crazy. Oh, it's just a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I only do that because, like, I love Dodge Neons. And I was like, I was reading through the book, like, I have to what?
You have to do what now?
Every year. It's like, you got to be kidding. You know, and
that's one of the good things. That's one of the things I like about the Toyota Care stuff is I just take it in there for the first few years, just let them take care of it. It's fine. Then if anything happens, I blame them.
Yeah. Don't you know? Only thing they do is like they just take it back there, look at it, eat some popcorn. You know, point at it, like point.
I'm not paying for it. I don't care.
They just point.
You know, as long as they're on the hook for it, if it goes bad, that's fine by me.
It's not gonna go bad. That's why they make you pay. That's why they look. They're just under there going like, yep, doing maintenance.
Yeah, but like I said, they're just charging back to Toyota, and Toyota's paying them. That's fine. I'm not paying it.
Because it's over-engineered. They don't need to. You understand? Yeah, I drove a Toyota that had a blown head gasket. The, it was four-wheel drive, and it was missing the rear drive shaft, so I was just driving on the front two tires, okay? All right, stuck in third gear. I probably drove 200 miles that way. Okay, heat gauge is pegged, just going.
Meanwhile, I have the fluid come out of my car. The coolant come out with a broken hose line. Mm-hmm. By the time I got it home from where I was at, which was probably about 20 miles, that head was already cracked and they're useless.
Wow. Wow.
And it was in the winter, and I was driving really slow. But it didn't matter.
I was on the highway.
Stupid Chevy.
I was on the highway. Stupid Toyota Hilux. Just flying.
And I love that car, too. I love that Chevy.
Yep.
Chevy Cavalier manual transmission. I drove it off the lot. It was in the showroom floor. I just drove it out.
Wow. Right on. I was almost... I urge you to ban you because you're like Chevy Cavalier.
Back in the day. Back in the day.
No. The Cavalier never had a day. The Cavalier never had a day. Yes, no. The Pinto had a day. The Cavalier did not. Okay. All right. The Cavalier is not even in discussion. This
was 1990 Cavalier. It was good.
That's not even in the running. Sir, you wasn't even brought into this discussion, okay? The Duster was in here. We're talking about the Dodge Duster.
It was the year the Cavalier went from being a box.
A joke?
Trying to be a sports car. That first year it tried to be kind of cool looking.
No, right? Stop.
It did.
No. It's not even in the discussion. No one talks
about it. What's funny about that car is that I blew one of the... spark plugs blew out of the engine. Hold on a second. And then I...
That's probably car driver telling you that's trash. Your opinion's trash.
Nah, that's my wife forgetting doing a podcast.
It's car driver. Yeah, Brian.
Hello, you're wrong.
That's not even the top 100, Brian. Brian, no, I'm going back pages. I can't even find this car.
Anyway, it blew the spark plug out. So I got one of those self taps, put it in there to fix it, to re-thread it, and put it back. And that was fun because I was doing it in the parking lot of the car. I was doing it in the parking lot of where I worked at. Right? And I'm sitting there. Luckily, I was at work where I have computer equipment where they have these little thin magnet ends, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there making sure I get any metal that's stuck in the top of the cylinder out, and it ran fine after that for like 3 years.
Yeah, I want you to know, if that would have been a Toyota, you could have just grabbed a larger spark plug and jammed that spark plug in there, kept the metal pieces in there. It would have just probably drove another 100,000 miles.
Hey, I am so happy with my Toyota right now. It's great. And I've not even put 5,000 miles on that car yet. So it's a good, good car. Yeah, nice and warm.
Sure is. Seats. Oh, isn't Toyota nice? It's gonna be, yeah, it's gonna be the car manufacturer. It's the car manufacturer of the future. Everyone else is being stupid and dumb, but Toyota is not. Toyota has kept Mazda sane and Subaru. Honda has kept up with it, like because like, all right, so this is gonna get, we're okay into the car weeds. Toyota has electric cars, right? Everyone knows Toyota has electric cars. Toyota has EVs. They also have trucks and everything else. Because Toyota kept saying, like, we make car for the people. We want to be a people car. Cool. You want EVs? You want hybrids? Cool. You know who's going to afford these EVs and electrics? Rich Americans. That's about it. Now, everyone else in the world cannot afford these EVs. So why the heck would I just make EVs when I've got the rest of the world to sell cars to? This is stupid. I'm going to keep
The rest of the world's doing small little electric cars already, weren't they? Three-wheeled cars that had like a little battery in the back, and it was drive it 30 miles and you charge it back up again. I mean,
no.
You ever heard about that stuff?
No. I've heard about it, but no one does that.
It's not EVs.
No one does that. They get petrol cars and diesel in the third world, sir.
So, I was thinking more like Europe and stuff.
Oh. The future third world. That movie,
yeah,
third
Japan, world. They don't even drive. They hardly even drive cars in Japan, don't they? They're all doing mass transit anyway because it's so. Everything's all on top of itself.
Correct. It's so compact. It's
easier to do.
It's very compact, but also very far apart.
Yeah.
So you have to use trains.
The trains are set up as walk extenders, so their train system works. The reason why trains and buses don't work in the United States is because they're treated as big cars, where Japan treats them as walk extenders. You can walk down the street to the business, but you got to take the train, which extends you from the mountains all the way down to the city, and you can just walk from the train. Walk extender. That's it. And they're coming so often, you don't have to look at the schedule. You just know.
Yeah, and part of it, is that you really have from point to point to point to point. There's not a lot of variation of where you could be going. Mm-hmm. Whereas the United States, it's like you can go in this direction or that direction or this direction or that. You know, it's trying to create that whole situation there.
Yeah, it's probably, it's Clark, Jeremy Clarkson, Richard Hammond.
Clark's like, calling again.
The Cavalier. Bro, I've got some Russian vehicles we could probably put on this list before the Cavalier gets here.
The fact that it was 25 pages of important haircuts for anime and manga is the funniest, most accurate reason why it bothered me so much.
Did we handle the topic that you wanted? Did you get everything off your chest and all this, by the way, while Rangel's good?
Yeah, for the most part. I just wanted to get his disgusted in general. Right. Because it's definitely one of those things of, because it's around so much and people and stuff like the escalating levels of isekais in anime, or the, we have to make the main character the most opiest, strongest, most powerfuliest person ever. It's what they do. Yeah. It's because of fucking Goku.
Yeah.
You can honestly blame a lot of it on DBZ if we're going to be honest.
People love the power up. I love the power ups.
Yeah, power up is really cool.
Maybe Friday while we're drinking. So yeah. Anyways, don't forget Loki Well does a long one this Friday. So we're doing 4+ hours. I'm probably going to use it to stay up because I've got to go. I'm actually going out for New Year's Eve, so I got to stay up Saturday night. So I'll probably try to stay up Friday night, rest up, so I can stay out on Sunday night. For Saturday night, which should be a lot of fun. I've got my outfit that I'm wearing sitting over here in the closet, which you guys can see right now because it's on the other side of the door.
So here, what Escalja was asking is, are we doing our media episode next Monday?
No.
It's like, no.
No. Why would I give Vincent that satisfaction?
I mean, it's fine. I enjoy my. You're muted, Reinhold.
We will close at the 3x3 when I say we close at the 3x3 series.
You carry it, you tease that sucker out, man. You take all the excitement that's there for it, and you just keep just edging people.
They let mods pin end, comments. Right? Check those mod privileges. Oh man, yeah. Yeah, it's
I just think he wants to erase that trash from his brain when we talk about it.
No, because I gotta watch Gundam Unicorn and I've gotta find time to watch it. That's my problem.
Which is never.
What? I'm gonna find time. I just gotta sit down, watch it. It's a little difficult now because I think they took it off of Netflix. So I'm gonna actually go somewhere to get it. Because I didn't buy it. I found it and I bought Gundam F91. I don't even remember buying that trash. Apparently I did. I should let you borrow the DVD so you understand. Like, why do you keep calling this trash? Here you go.
I mean, trust me, it won't be as bad as the trash that forces got you to watch.
Oh no.
Trust me.
At the end of the day,
don't forget, we've got to do the honorable mentions too before we get to the final episode. Okay. So we still have some filler in there we can do.
Oh yeah, yeah. 3x3.
I've got several honorable mentions. 3x3
trust me, my honorable mentions is going to be painful. Is trying to find a way to write it without like taking up half an hour of the show.
Maybe we'll do a long episode, one of those long Fridays for the honorable mentions. Yeah, and hopefully, we'll get the internet going at the stream house, so we can do a long one in January at the stream house, which Reinhold will sleep there on the air mattress, but will be ready for the Saturday show.
I have babysitting duties, basically. I can't do that.
He's like, I'm not sleeping on the air mattress.
I can't leave somebody alone that long.
No, that's fine.
Can't do it.
All right, that's fine.
Miss fall down a lot.
All right, that's fine.
She fell the other day, and it's just not been a good day. Week. So
okay. All right. It's fine. Well,
I'll be on the camera though. Yeah. Hook me in. I'll be remote.
Yes, we'll hook you in. We'll remote you in. Get you in. We just gotta. We're gonna get a good cart TV so we can bring you in, pull you around. Anyways, so
like Max Headroom. I'll just do my Max Headroom thing at that point. So.
and even if we don't let him, he'll hack in and do his Max Headroom anyway.
Or do we get the paper mache lady to make us a paper mache rhino, right? And just put lights in it. And just a digital mouth, so it just looks like
they never caught the person who did the hack, Max Headroom hack way back when. Because I know who it was.
There's some belief of who it was on the internet, but
was it Astra?
It was me. No,
Statue of Limitation.
Apparently, it was some underground band, and they had connections with somebody in the facility.
Huh. All right. Well, before this episode gets too long of the truth, I'm going to end this episode. Thank you for everyone listening. Got made it this far in the episode. I really do appreciate it. It was this week is going to be difficult for me because it is the last week of winter break with my daughter, and I still have to work this week, which is going to suck. But it's okay. She's fine. It was easier today a little bit after this afternoon because her friend came over. And once her friend discovered the Kotatsu was warm because she was coloring on it on the side, and then she really put her feet in it, she stopped getting up and running around the house too.
The child trap, I see.
It's like, I have
all parents should have a Kotatsu.
I know. I need to. I shall abandon the Kotatsu and eject it because the kids are stuck here, and I will move to the kitchen. It may be colder, but less kid.
Just need to get a second one for adult use only.
This one, my wife has asked if we could get the bigger one because she'll watch a certain anime's Japanese TV shows or Korean shows, and they've got the big ones. And I'm like, why don't we have one of those? It's like, well, I got this for like little office. I didn't know you were going to end up liking it and putting it in our actual living room. And it's staying there. And yeah, she wants to get the bigger one. We are getting rid of the couch. And all she wants is Kotatsu because she realized how also easy it is to clean the living room too. I'm gone into a tangent because to clean the living room and mop everything, you literally like pick up, fold up the tatami, pick up the Kotatsu, and it's just an empty floor now that you sweep and clean. And it's like, put it all back. I'm like, that was easy. It's like just this. Cause like with a couch, you never get the crumbs out of it. You know, it's big, bulky, you moving around, but it's all these other tables and everything else that goes with the couch and everything around it versus this is it. You know? So yeah. Anyway, so yeah, like I said, please tune in Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for a long episode. Miranda says she's probably going to show. James said he's going to probably go. We'll get producer Paul on the mic as we go through and talk all night and, you know, have fun. And it'll be our last show of the year. So
year in review.
Yeah. Year in review. Last episode of the year might possibly be the last episode on the Wall Network recorded this year. Least real life, unlike fake live. So also reminding everyone, please.
Well, it's the only show that's recorded live on the Wall Network, isn't it?
No, Boss Hog.
Because
they're still number three show on the network, which will eventually take their spot.
Yeah. An Enemy of My Enemy just hasn't had any new episodes. And
Pod Faded. We're going to steal Lou and Brian. And okay. All right.
We steal all three of them and just put them on steal ours. Hody. Pod Faded, but it just combined with
God, ours. God. Won't be the first time Hody tried to steal low key. Okay. All right. Gotta be careful with Hody around this. Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, yeah, it does think that, for like the, because Remzo came to our first big show, and it does hurt that he's not going to do his recording of the last two episodes here shortly on the road with Remzo, which, you know, fans of the show have seen that. That's, you know, it's sad. So, but yeah. So, good night, everybody. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.